Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And the sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At the moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
The feast of the presentation of the Lord. As I said at the beginning, the 40th day after Christmas, Jesus, the baby Jesus, was brought to the temple. This is an important occasion in the history of the world. Why a major epiphany is revealed in this action? Simeon, who received Jesus on his hands, he sang this beautiful song, and in that song he said, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Jesus is the light of the world. That's the strong message he gives through this song. In fact, this Sunday is celebrated as Candlemas. What is Candlemas? People bring candles to the church, and the church blesses the candles. And these candles are lit in the houses just to remember that Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And this Candlemas service is also a kind of a connection between the Epiphany season and the Lent season. So now we are coming to the end of the Epiphany season, which will eventually lead us to the Lent season. Luke presents many characters in the infancy narrative of our Lord Jesus. Many characters: Zechariah, Elizabeth, Joseph, Mary. Today we read two characters, Simeon and Anna. When you look at these characters, young, old, women, men, seniors are also part of this story. Every one in this infancy narrative brings color, brings uniqueness about their participation in this infancy narrative. Jesus was brought to the temple by Joseph and Mary. They were devout and pious people. They were poor, but they are sincerely following all that the commandment has given to them. They are fulfilling the rituals that the law demands. So they followed the rituals. Three ancient ceremonies were fulfilled on this occasion. On the eighth day of the birth of a male child, they had to circumcise the child and also name the child. We really do not know whether all that taken place on the 40th of day. We don't know. But that's the first ceremony, circumcision and naming of the child. By doing that, the child is taken into the Jewish community. The child belongs to the Jewish community. In other words, God has now come into our human society, our human community. God's presence has come into our community. That's number one. Number two is purification of the parents. This is a bit of a, you know, a strange one, but let's look at it. There is nothing to do with sin. As soon as we hear the word purification, we may think that there's a kind of a sin is involved and therefore purification. No, in Jewish culture or Judaism, they always think in terms of clean and unclean, or profane and sacred. Now, according to the law, they had to come and do the purification, unclean and clean. But in this context, according to one particular scholar, there is nothing to be ashamed of the whole process of childbearing. There's nothing. But then this particular scholar very strongly says that Mary, or any person who goes through the process of childbearing, is part of God's creating act. They are part of the God's creating action. And they are into a sacred duty. Now, by these purification rites, they are being relieved from the sacred duty. This one particular Bible scholar comes up with this kind of an explanation, and I want to read further and understand what it is. So it is nothing to be ashamed of. When the family goes through a time of pregnancy or the process of childbearing, this is participating in God's creative action. So for this purification, they have to either sacrifice a lamb or a pair of turtle doves or a pair of pigeon. Since Mary and Joseph are poor, they chose the pair of turtle dove. The third ceremony, which is the presentation of the child. The child is dedicated to the Lord. The first child is given to the Lord. And they give the child to the Lord, and they get the child back by paying a price, which is not mentioned in Luke's infancy narrative. He has not mentioned that. all firstborn child belongs to the Lord. So you go and give it to the Lord, paying a price, you get the child back. You pay 5 shekels, which is 20 denarii, 20 days of salary, you pay and get the child back. In Malachi, what we read is from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, he gives the preview of what was about to take place. What has taken place now? The Lord appears in the temple, or the Lord is presented in the temple. Now this question comes, has Jesus been bought back? Some scholars are debating on that. Luke is silent, and I think we need to be silent. Some people are saying that Jesus needs no redemption. He will always belongs to the Lord, and therefore no money was paid. We really do not know. But three rituals have been followed. One is naming the child and circumcision. Second is purification rites. And third is the presentation of the Lord, the presentation to the Lord. Now, Mary and Joseph came to the temple to fulfill these religious duties. There they met Simeon. How Simeon was introduced? I want to read. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. He was looking forward for the comfort of Israel. What does that mean? He's looking for the consolation, comfort of Israel. This is a long wait. 2,000 years ago, God promised Abraham. What was the promise? I will bless you and make you the blessing of nations. Numerous people are going to come out of Abraham. And Abraham is a blessing, and his generation will be a blessing, and through them the entire world will be a blessing. That's the promise. But things did not go well. 400 years they were in slavery in Egypt. And then when they came back, the judges tried to bring order in the society, but they could not do it. So kings were appointed. Only one best king they ever had, that is David. Things still did not go well. The kingdom was divided into two. But foreign rulers came. Since 700 BC onwards, things did not go well. Assyrians came and they captured Israel, the northern part. And in 586, again, things did not go well. Babylonians came and they captured Judah. And during these 400 years of dark period, they did not have a lot of things to hold on. He is waiting for God's consolation. He is waiting for a relief. He is waiting for a comfort to be granted to Israel. They have been patiently waiting for God to comfort his people. Patiently waiting. Now, at the birth of Jesus, they are overwhelmed with joy. Luke records 4 songs or 4 poems in the infancy narrative. Number one, Mary's song, which we discussed some weeks ago. Second is Zachariah's song. And third, of course, angels said a beautiful poem. And fourth, that's what we are discussing today, Nuke Dimittis, which is Simeon's song. When you look at these 3 songs, Mary's song, Zachariah's song, and Simeon's song, all 3 people mention about the promise God has made. God has made this promise. And they cut hold of that promise. And in the birth of Jesus, they see that the promise is fulfilled. Look at what Mary said. Mary said, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise that he made to our ancestor Abraham and his descendants forever. So when Mary sang the song, she says that God has remembered the promise that he made to Abraham, that is fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. Long wait, now it is fulfilled. What did Zechariah say? Zechariah very beautifully said, he has raised up a mighty savior for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. Thus he has shown mercy, promised to our ancestors, and has remembered the holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham. Again, Zechariah is saying this particular promise, which we caught hold of all along, is now fulfilled. That's what Zechariah is saying. Now, our man Simeon is very beautifully saying, Master, you are dismissing me in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before all the peoples. In other words, he's saying that I am now satisfied. I am content. I am overwhelmed with joy. Now everything that you have promised is fulfilled in Jesus. I am happy. I am overwhelmed with joy. A long wait has now been fulfilled. But in this long wait, a very long wait, what is the source of encouragement? What is the source of strength? The promise, the scripture. Mary talks about it, Zechariah talks about it, and also Simeon talks about it. The only hope that they caught hold of all through these many years, many centuries, is God's word. They caught hold of the God's promise. Now that is being fulfilled. What do we learn from Simeon? God has promised and God will fulfill. Patiently wait for it. That's the lesson these characters teach us. I read about Death Valley of California in North America. It's a death valley because no vegetation is possible. The place is dry and hot. It is thought to be the hottest place in the world, hottest place on earth during summer. People go there are dehydrated, and some who go there die. So it is called Death Valley of California. You can Google and find out. Nearly 6 inches, that is 150 mm rain fell during 2004 and 2005 in this valley. And the Death Valley was bloomed with wild flowers. Please Google and find out Death Valley Spring Flowers 2005. When you see these pictures, they are gorgeous, beautiful. Death Valley bloomed. The entire valley was filled with wild flowers. All these centuries it was dormant. People thought there was no life. But the 6 inches of rainfall brought life, beautiful life. Patiently waiting. God will bring change for sure. Catch hold of the scripture. Build your life on scripture. And you will be suitably rewarded as Simeon is rewarded. Someone very beautifully said, God is never in a hurry. God is never in a hurry. But he is always on time. He's always on time. Simeon received a great sense of comfort. But the question is, yes, everything is now fulfilled in Jesus. Has everything been completed? Has everything been over? No. He says that it's an ongoing process. We believe in linear history. We don't believe cyclic history. We believe in linear history. Yes, God created the world, the humans failed, and then at some point he sent his son Jesus, and the redemptive work of God is continuing. And Simeon felt that he is part of that history. He's part of that history. And he says that my part of the history is over. And he prophesied that this ongoing process is continuing by the coming of Jesus. He said three things. He prophesied and he said three things. The child is destined for the falling and rising of many. What does he say here? What he says that now Jesus is come, everything is fulfilled in Jesus, but in his coming, many will be lifted up and many are going to be dropped. Mary also says that in her song, he has shown strength with his arm and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. So in coming of Jesus, some are lifted up, some are dropped. You would know among the disciples, Peter is lifted up, but at the same time, Judas is dropped. The question is Jesus doing that? No. In his presence, his presence is such that it either makes or breaks. In his presence, one is built up and another is not built up. His presence is such. That's what Simeon is singing. Jesus has always been welcoming. He comes with his open arms. He is always receiving, welcoming, accepting, embracing. But in his presence is such that if you are not receiving him, then you are out. So his presence is such that it makes or it breaks. That's the thing that Simeon is singing. He is destined for the falling and rising of many. The second thing he prophesies and says, this ongoing work is such that he is a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. In other words, since Jesus' presence is such, division is inevitable. Since Jesus' presence is such, nothing is going to be a secret. The inner thoughts are going to be revealed, and you know who is on the side of God and who is on the other side. Everything will be revealed. The division is inevitable. And thirdly, he beautifully said, a sword will pierce your soul too. He's saying this to Mary. You are part of this God's work, but remember, in this work, it's a reward. It's a privilege. You are a blessed person. Your blessed soul is also going to be pierced. And that's what exactly happened when Jesus was crucified on the cross. His son, our Lord Jesus, when he was crucified, Mary witnessed that her soul was pierced. Now, Simeon knew that he is part of ongoing process of God's work. Simeon knew that. And we have another beautiful person, Anna. She also knew that she is part of God's work in this world. 84 years old. 84 years, but strong. As soon as she saw the baby, she started speaking of him to all. She also thinks that she is part of God's work. She is part of God's work. Age is never a problem. 84 years. But she feels that she is very important. And she should not leave that opportunity to go out of hand. So she started talking about Jesus to others. How old was Simeon? How old was Simeon? We don't know. The tradition says that Simeon was probably part of the translating team, the 70 people who translated the Old Testament Hebrew into Greek. That took place 70 years before the birth of Jesus. Probably he was part of the Septuagint group. In that case, he is more than 150, 170 years old. We don't know. But both of them, who are old, who are seniors, they strongly feel that they are part of this God's work on this earth. They are part of God's work. Age doesn't matter. There is no retirement in God's kingdom. There is no retirement to any one of us. We need to be working as long as we live on this earth. Your role may change as you grow old, but you are in God's service. Remember, you and I are part of God's ongoing work. He kept us here for a purpose. God is not just interested in destination. God is interested in the means, in the process. God is interested today in your life this day. God is interested in the means, in the process. He ordained the means. Simeon is special. Anna is special in this process. You and I too are special in this process, in this ongoing job. Have you read the book called 1001 Arabian Nights? It's a big book. But when you look at this book, this is a book of stories within a story. Stories within a story. And each story within that story is unique, is special, and interesting. Each story is an interesting story within that story. You and I have got a unique story. Each one of us has got a unique story in the God's redemptive act or God's redemptive story. You and I are special. You and I are given individually a story. The question is, are you committing yourself to fulfill that story? Anna and Simeon committed themselves to fulfill the story. Are you willing to do that? So two lessons strongly coming out of this particular passage. Catch hold of the scripture and wait patiently. God is at work. You will be suitably rewarded. Commit yourself to the Lord to fulfill your part of story in His kingdom. God bless us all. Amen.